Life Point Church. Will you guys stand with us? We're going to get right into worship.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you.
You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name. Your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Sin was heavy, the chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven.
When I was broken, you were my healing. Now you're
darkness runs.
So come, move, let justice flow like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. So come, move, let justice flow like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you.
King of all generations, let every tongue and nation surrender all to you alone. Let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. So come, move, let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. So come, move, let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you.
Sing that one more time.
So come, move, let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We magnify your holy name. Father God, we thank you that you've given us a place to come and worship you in congregation, Lord. A place to gather with fellow believers, God, and to lift up your name. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you that even now, your Holy Spirit is moving on each and every person's behalf in this room, God. God, we're believing for victory this morning, God. We're believing for changed lives, God. We're believing for Broward County to be changed completely by your Holy Spirit, Father God. Hallelujah, God. Let not any action, any thought, anything that your Spirit does in this room, God, let it not just be something that just passes, just a moment that just passes, God, but let us cling on to that, God, and let us hold on to your promises, Lord. Holy Spirit, begin to move, begin to have your way in this service, God. Hallelujah, Father, we lift you up this morning. You are so good. We love you, Jesus. At this time, we're going to open the altars. If you guys have a need, if there's anything that you just want to lay at the Father's feet this morning, feel free to do that. If you just want to spend time in the presence of God, you're more than welcome to. There are people who want to pray with you this morning. Just know that you have a church family who's here to encourage you. You don't have to go through anything alone. You don't have to fight things on your own. There's a community of believers for a reason. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
am a child of God.
And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. If you know your name, sing that out.
I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Yes, I am a child of God. Hallelujah.
Marvelous mystery.
For every need that's represented here, God, I pray that you would show up today. God, for those families that came through the door, and God, you know they know exactly what it is. God, we're believing that you're going to show up in our life today. God, have your way in this place. Speak to us today, God, through your word. Pour out your spirit in this place. God, we honor you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, give the Lord a hand clap of praise, church, as you're seated. You can be seated this morning. We want to welcome you out to Life Point Church. I look across here this morning in the first service, and I was just excited to see people here today because I know God's going to speak to you today through his word. And I believe God is putting us in a position, Life Point Church and families and people that are coming. God is positioning you for 2019 to be the best year you've ever had. And I don't say that just to say it. I mean it. The word that God has given me and the series that he's taken us through, I believe, is putting us in position to receive God's best for our life. Amen? You are entitled to God's best, regardless of what you believe, okay? Now, that doesn't mean you won't have trials and problems, but you still can have God's best. Amen? So we're believing for that. I just want to welcome you this morning. Thank you for being here, Life Point. If you have never filled out a connection card, there should be one in the seat back in front of you somewhere. I would just ask that you would fill that out for us this morning. Put your email address on there and a phone number because we want to stay in contact with you a little bit. You can put it in the offering when it comes by. Just trying to do that the first of the year to get everybody's contact information. And just share a few things that are happening, going on real soon. I will tell you, you can look in the bulletin if you have one, and that's pretty good stuff what's happening there. The Women's Fellowship, the Senior Adult Ministry, the Car Wash Outreach, and the Beach Outreach. I'll talk about that in a second. But the Men's Breakfast is this Saturday, and we do want to invite you out at 8:30. Men can come out. We invite you all to be here for the Men's Breakfast. That'll be real cool. And a few things that are going to be changing around here. I want you to catch so you don't get... You understand what we're doing. Starting next Sunday, for anyone that has a child they bring to church here, what's going to happen is every time you bring your child in, before you take them to their rooms, we're going to ask that you check your child in. We're trying to put in some security measures around here. As we got here and walked through things and we're ready to implement this, this is what it looks like. You'll check your child in. There'll be an iPad. And then no one has access to our kids' rooms. You know, nobody will have access to those rooms. And except the workers, and then when you bring that tag, your child will be given to you, right? Because we don't want somebody walking off with the wrong child, do we? Sometimes it's thought crossed our minds, but no, we don't. And here's the thing. We want this to be a safe environment for you and your family. And it takes a little time to get everything in place, and Pastor Sydney's still getting her team together where we have all the workers in place at all times. And when you come in, you know your child's safe in there and nobody can come mess with them. And if you're not, let me just help you real quick. If you're not a kids worker here and you know you're not a kids worker, I would advise you don't even go in the classrooms where the kids are. Please. I know you like to play with those little toys in there and do your little thing, but let's just stay in our lane, amen? The other thing I was going to talk to you about is you'll see in the bulletin down in the bottom, the beach outreach. It gives the date and the time. That's going to be one of the outreach ministries that started here. That's going to be out at I think it's Lauderdale by the Sea. If you were to go down Commercial Boulevard and run into the beach, that's where they're going to meet at 3:30. And let me just tell you a little bit about what that is. That's an evangelism outreach. That team, I think they have a couple of little signs and some things. Maybe, hey, we love you, need a free hug. I'll get on the hug crew. That's cool. But it's really just it's a moment. It's not for everybody, but it is for somebody where you want to go out in the community and just say, hey, let me tell you God loves you. Let me just share the message that Jesus loves you. This is not us going out throwing rocks at people and being crazy, but we want to just let people know Jesus loves them. Amen. It's an evangelism moment, and we're going to take advantage of that. So you may be interested in that. That's what it is. I'll give you some more details on that next Sunday. And also, the last announcement I want to share with you is next Sunday starts our Connection Sunday, okay? Our connection groups start next Sunday. And there's a couple of people here. I'm going to ask them to stand up real quick. I know there's a couple. Destiny is a connection leader. She's doing young adults, Destiny. And she'll be out there next week, so you can definitely get with her. Susan Wilson is doing a connection group over here, Miss Susan. And then Phyllis Hood is doing a connection group. They're in the back. Next Sunday, I'm going to bring them on the platform so you'll get to know them real well. Don't worry. And my wife and I are doing a connection group next Sunday at Markham Park. Okay, that's at 3 o'clock at Markham Park. You can go on the website this week, cometolife.tv. There's a link for connection groups. We're going to have all the information on the website, too. And just come try a couple. Maybe you want to come out, you know, the one at Markham Park. I'm saying if you're married with kids, you're welcome there. You know what I'm saying? We let our kids play on one side of the park, and we're going to go the other side of the park and have a picnic with no kids. Some of y'all get that one later. It's okay. No, but we want to connect together. That's the goal. We want to do life together. Amen. We want to do more than just see you on Sunday. And I believe God has big plans for us to come together as a family. So next Sunday, I'll have all the leaders up here. You'll get to meet them and stuff and decide which connection group you'd like to attend. We'll tell you that ours, mine and Sydney's, I can assure you, will meet every Sunday, every third Sunday at 3 o'clock. Some of those groups may change their times and dates a little bit just to be flexible with whoever and whatever time works, but that's what we're shooting for. Amen? God bless you. I'm going to ask the ushers to come on this morning, and we're going to continue to worship in our giving, our tithes, and offering. I would just ask you to be faithful to God. Amen? And who can testify of God's faithfulness in your life? Woo! I know you can. And let's pray. Father, this morning, we just come before you with a grateful heart, Lord, and I pray over this offering that it would be pleasing to you, God, that your people would just live according to your word. Lord, accept it as pleasing in Jesus' name, I pray. And everybody said, God bless you as you give. This morning, I'm still in the same series, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to take us a couple of months to get through this. But it's good. I want to explain to you real well what's happening. We're in a stewardship mode, of our life. And what that means is we're going to look at what I believe is every area that God would expect the believer to take care of. You do have your job to do, amen? We have areas of our life that have to be taken care of. And God expects us to do it. And if you think about it, for the first part of the year, we talked about taking care of our soul, remember? He said, I desire that you prosper in all things. This is our verse for 2 weeks. I desire that you prosper in all things and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Let me tell you, what did Jesus say? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his? Which tells me there's more important things than the things we have. And it's really what's inside of us, amen? And I believe as a church and Christians, when we get inside of us right, I believe that's the moment when God wants to fix things on the outside of our life. Amen? Because we're then able to care for things and keep things and do things and all that. Today we're going to shift gears a little bit and move from the soul to the next one. It's called our attitude. Somebody take a deep breath. You're going to be all right. Because I'm going to talk about attitude for 2 weeks. And today's attitude is the first attitude we have to have right. It's our attitude toward God. The next week, we're going to talk about our attitude toward people. How many of you are not going to come next week? You know what I'm saying? You already checked out on me right there. Because I'm going to tell you, our attitudes can change, man. You know, I mean, how many of you have an attitude that's like back and forth? Your Friday attitude's different than your Monday attitude at work. You know what I mean? It's like, I get it. But here's the thing. We should remain consistent with our attitude toward God. If there's one thing I know for sure, it's that people go through things. Everybody in this room, you've been through things in your life, and some of you are yet to go through more things. But sometimes those things we go through affect how we see God. They affect how we see God. There's people sitting in this room, you might have been abused as a child, and you were mad at God for a long time. I'll never forget, about 5 years ago, I was in New York with my wife, and I did a wedding for someone up there. And I was talking about God and just doing the wedding ceremony. And after the bride and groom walked off the platform and the best man walked over to me and he says, "How come you got to talk about God so much?" I was like, okay, you know, hush, man. I was going to say that, but I didn't do that. But I was like, and I got to listen to this guy. And he's standing on the platform of the ceremony telling me how mad he was at God. And this wasn't a young man. He said, "I've been mad at God for 40 years. And he had grandkids and kids. I said, "Man," I said, "let me tell you, I get you being mad at God for 40 years. But what do you think that did to your kids? Because they're probably mad at God too now. You understand?" So I get it. I understand. But here's what I want you to catch this morning. In order for us to be where God wants us to be in 2019 in your life, we have to have a good attitude toward God. Our attitude toward God cannot waver. Does your life waver? Does situations come and go? Good, bad, indifferent. But my attitude toward God has got to remain consistent. In Acts chapter 13, verse number 21 is where we're going to start this morning. Taking care of our attitude toward God. I'm believing with you this year. 2019, I'm believing. I want to hear the testimony that when God does the thing in your life that you're waiting on, when things get restored in your life, when good things begin to happen, I want to hear it. Because I'm believing God's going to do that in 2019. I believe your soul's ready. I believe your attitudes are going to be ready. We're going to talk about some things in the upcoming weeks. Some things in February, the 1st of February, we're going to do a church fast together. We're going to be in the fasting area where God's going to want us to fast. But I'm going to tell you, we do all that stuff, and if our attitude and soul's bad, you might as well not do it. You're wasting your time. Our attitude toward God, I want to listen to this. Verse number 21, it said, "Afterwards, they asked for a king. And God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all of my will.'" What I would tell you this morning is, I'm going to talk to you about the qualifications of a king. And in a spiritual sense, I believe God's called you all to be king and queens of the Most High God. And I say that to say I don't want you living in lack in any area of your life because you're mad at God or because some people just have a misinterpretation of who God is. I know people in my family who think God is someone you push a button and say, "Give me," and he gives it to them. I have people living in my house that think of me like that, if you know what I'm saying. Some of my kids. You understand what I'm saying? Some people believe that's the way God is. If you just tell him to do something, he's just going to show up on your every command and just do what you want him to do. Is that true? Has anyone experienced something different than that in your life? But he is a God that said, "I want you to prosper in every area of your life. I want you to be healthy, even as your soul prospers." So here we go. We're going to look at this. Israel wanted a king. And this is a late New Testament version of the story where he backs up and says, let's look at David for a moment. When the Israelites, they didn't like the way God set the system up, really. The judges and all that stuff. They kept saying, "We want a king. We want a king." And so then God gave them a king. And the king, you know, didn't work out all that great, right? But God makes a comment, the writer here makes a comment about when God started looking for a king. And here's what I would say, God is looking for someone in 2019 to use for his glory in this community. God is looking for someone right now, the same way he looked for that king. And listen to what he says. He gave the testimony. He gave the testimony. It's right there. He gave testimony. Let me tell you, when God gives testimony about somebody, that's special. Let me ask you this question. Could God give a testimony about you today? If God gave a testimony about you, what would it say? Do we give a testimony about God? You better believe we do. That's not what this says. This says God gave a testimony about David. Now, the problem with that is this. The problem that we have with that, if you read the Bible at all, you know what David was. He was a murderer, he was a liar, and he was an adulterer. Now, for the spiritual, super spiritual people in here, you're going to have a problem with that, which tells me God will use anybody. God will use a conflicted individual for his purpose and his glory. That's why I say it time and time again. Be careful when you judge somebody because of their behavior. They may be having a bad day on the outside, but they've had a good life on the inside. You'll see that with David. Listen to what he said. He gave testimony and said, I have found David. Now listen to me. God was looking for a king. God was looking for someone to rule the house of Israel. You would think if we're looking for a king or a national leader today, most people would start by looking in a family lineage and say, well, maybe, you know, especially in that British thing, right, that royal family, you're born into it. How many of you were born into that here, you know? How many of you, never mind, I'm not going to touch that one. Some of y'all didn't come through the lineage, did you? Some of you didn't get there because of who your parents were. But that's okay, but see, and it wasn't that they looked for an educated, royal, trained person. It wasn't the next in line. It wasn't that he was trained up for the position, but the Bible says that God found David. Let me say this to you. God may be looking for you today. God is looking for people. Turn with me to John chapter 4, verse 23. John chapter 4, verse 23, this is what Jesus says to the woman at the well. The woman at the well, you remember the story? She's sitting there and Jesus talking about how many times she'd been married and goes into all her stuff. And then she says, well, we don't worship here. And listen to what Jesus said. The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is what? Seeking those people. He's seeking those people. In other words, there is a worship that you can have in your life that God's looking for. And let me take you a step further. I don't necessarily believe it's the worship we do here on Sunday morning. Now, it might be. It might be part of it, but I believe it's way deeper than that. I'll say this. David wasn't in a church when God found him. Amen? David wasn't in a church when God found him. Now, God will find you here. But I want to help you this morning to say your attitude toward God is going to position you for what God has for you in 2019. Your attitude toward God. The Bible says that God found him. God found him. Well, let's think about where God found him. I already told you he didn't find him in a church, but he found him on the side of a mountain. He found him on the side of a mountain. And his attitude was this. David had a lot of brothers, and his father was Jesse. And all the brothers, we'll go into it in a little bit, but all the brothers were looked at very, very good by their father, but not so much David. Some of you know what that feels like. Some of you were raised in a house where maybe favoritism was showed to somebody or whatever. It's kind of common, actually. And so David had a lot of reasons to be mad and upset. David had reasons to have an attitude toward God that would say, well, how come is it that my brothers get looked at a certain way, but nobody likes me? And let me tell you something. You and I cannot live life with a victimized mentality. You cannot be an overcomer in Jesus Christ and cry about what has happened to you. Now, I will say this with sensitivity. I feel for the things that you've gone through. But I'm not going to hold that tag on you as that's why you are like you are. Or that's why you are like you are, because I'll say this. You're an overcomer in Christ Jesus. You are an overcomer. And I would never look at a child and say, you're always going to be like this because this happened to you. That's a lie from the pit of you know what. No way, Jose. Here he goes. Sorry, Jose. Didn't mean to get you. What happened? Where am I at? I lost it. David was on the side of the mountain. He wasn't crying. He wasn't complaining. No, this is what David was doing. When God said, I'm going to find that person, I'm going to find that person that's going to take my people that's going to be leader of my people, that's going to be the one I'm going to start looking, and this is where he found him. He found a shepherd boy on the side of a mountain. He didn't go to the best schools. He didn't go look for the most educated. But here's what he said. Here's what he said. He said, there's somebody on the side of a mountain in Bethlehem. And I don't know what all he does, but this is what I hear. He's singing songs to me. He's singing songs to me. And he's writing poetry to me. And he's wooing me with his words. And he's not crying to me about what he's been through or what he don't have. But I don't know. There's some boy over there, and maybe he's overlooked, but he just keeps singing to me. And these words keep coming up to heaven from his mouth. And he said, I found me somebody. He said, I found me somebody. Listen to me this morning, church. God will find you when you go after him. God will find you when you seek him with your whole heart. And if there's one thing I want to tell you is our attitude toward God has got to change. Our attitude toward God has got to change. I'm going to go after God with everything I got. You ever had this? You ever made this statement to yourself? It's got to be better than this. I'm real good. I only do it about once a week now. You know, I used to do it twice a week, but now I'm good. I'm getting to once a week. Why? Because I know that God has more in store for us. And I'm not talking about more stuff, but I'm saying there's got to be more joy. There's got to be more to life. There's got to be more. And God said, I want to give it to you, but you got to come after me with your whole heart. This Sunday morning only thing ain't going to cut it, church. This only coming on Sunday ain't going to get it. And I'm telling you right now, I know what I'm talking about. I know we have a worship team here that we're just put together, and we're trying to get our worship to the best it can be on Sunday. But I will say this, if our worship people only worship on Sunday, and we don't have it like that. You know what I'm saying. If you and I only come in here and worship on Sunday, no. God said, I'm looking for somebody who worships me in spirit and in truth. He's seeking someone who worships him in spirit and truth. This was a little shepherd boy standing on the side of the mountain. The Bible says he began to dance. He began to dance before the Lord. He would dance, and he would sing, and he would write songs, and he would be like somebody, some of you that God had brought you out of something, and don't matter what somebody says about God, you're going to sing, and you're going to dance, and you're going to worship because you know what he brought you through. You paid the high price in your life. And he was just on the side of the mountain over there, just wooing God, wooing God. And man, I'm telling you, I've been married for I don't know how many years now. It's few, but this is one thing my wife has said to me. Husbands, you won't admit it, but I know it's true. Your wife ever said this to you? Why don't you do me like you did when we were dating? Boy, that one gets me right there every time, between the eyes, boom. You know what I'm saying? Y'all don't want to say nothing right now, I know, but it's true. And see, that's what God wants. That's what David was doing to God. That's what David was doing to God. So he said, I have a testimony about somebody that I found. Could you imagine if God said that about you? I got a testimony about somebody I found in Broward County, Florida. They were getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning before they had to get their kids and to get themselves ready, and they just started singing songs to me. Boy, there was a noise coming out of the backyard over there, and, you know, they didn't sing too good, but it sounded good to me anyway. You know what I'm saying? Because he's not looking for perfection. He's not looking for sophisticated. He's not looking for let's make sure we got it all, everything dialed in so it sounds right. He's looking for somebody who stands there in the midst of everything in their life and says, oh, how great you are. Oh, how much I love you, Lord. Man, you want to know what it sounds like? Read the book of Psalms. That's where David wrote it. All that stuff he wrote in there was from the side of that mountain, a young boy whose dad had rejected him, basically. You're going to see it this morning. His father had rejected him. You ever been rejected before? You ever felt rejected? Of course you have. Well, let me tell you something. That don't mean you're out. You keep singing to God. You keep searching his heart. Listen to what he said. I gave a testimony and said, I have found David. This is the qualifications of a king. He found David. I found him. I found the one that was after my own heart. I found the one that had problems. I found one that had a crisis in their life, but still they could sing to me. You got to understand, if you and I today were to read the list of what this man did in his life, you would say, there's no way God would have chosen him as king. Be careful. Let me tell you, if you'd have read all of my history before I came here, you'd have said, oh my goodness. I don't know about this one. Let me tell you something. That's the redemption power of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you another thing that I will promise you I've learned in my life. People that have anointing have crisis. The anointing does not come without a crisis. And David had some crises in his life. He had some things that he was not right in, but God used him anyway. And I'm going to tell you, you may have some things that aren't right in your life. Don't let that steal your worship. Don't let that steal your song. What did David say? He said, I waited patiently on the Lord. He inclined his ear to me and heard my cry. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise. See what I'm saying? Maybe we should make a new song to God in 2019. I'm not talking about in here on Sunday morning. But we can do that too, amen? Made a new song. And he said, I found David, the son of Jesse. And it was important that he said the son of Jesse. It was important that he said the son of Jesse, because if you look at the lineage of Jesus, you'll know that the prophet said that out of the root of Jesse, out of the root of Jesse, from that guy, from that place, is going to come the king of Israel. Is going to come the king. But if you follow his life backwards, and we've talked about it a little bit, if you follow his life backwards, his great-great-great-great-grandmother, I believe, was a woman named Ruth. And you remember what happened to Ruth? Naomi? There was a famine in the land. And they said, I'm going to leave, and we're going to go to this place called Bethlehem. And they've settled in Bethlehem. And out of the root of Jesse will come this Jesus from Bethlehem. You hear what I'm saying? Let me break it down to you like this. What you see happening in your life or don't see happening in your life doesn't mean God's not working it out. Sometimes you have got to sit back and sing while God works. Quit crying and bellyaching that nothing's happening. God is working this thing out. God is working this. I was talking to a brother this morning about how God worked this thing out, that we are where we are at Life Point Church right now. And I even shared with him probably, I don't even know, we're 2019, this had to be at least 2012 or 2011, somewhere back there. I was in South Florida. We were here, Sydney and I, God had called me to South Florida even then, and I knew it. And I left my mother-in-law's house down in Hollandale. She lives there. I was riding around by myself, and I came up Hollywood Boulevard. You know where that's at? Right at I-95. And there was a building on the side of the road. It was for sale. It was a four-story building, huge thing. It said for sale. And I said, that's where I'm going to do my ministry in South Florida. Okay, that's what I'm thinking. I said, maybe. But I called the number on the building. I called the number. The guy answered. I said, man, I'm in the parking lot of the building right now. It had a parking deck under it. It had three stories. I said, all of it. We could do church, outreach center, a mission, everything right here. He's like, that's great. $13 million. I was like, hold on, man. You misunderstood. I was going to ask you to give it to me. We were going to do this together for the Lord. He was laughing at me, you know. It's like, click. But here's what I'm trying to say is God put South Florida in my heart, but he knew how I was going to bring it to pass. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we get something in our head and God has told you something. And let me tell you this, be careful that you're not a manipulator. When you try to manipulate people and things to get your will, it's called witchcraft. And there are some witches, trust me. You do not want to be a witch. Let God work it out. When you got to try to make people do things behind the scene, and you know who you are. You try to make people do this and make manipulation. It's a spirit. And God ain't going to have nothing to do with it. Jesse tried to manipulate when he brought all of his sons out. He said, here, we're going to get to the story in a minute. When he comes to the property and he says in chapter 1 Samuel 16, verse number 7. Let's pull it up. The Lord said to Samuel. He went to Jesse first. He said, Jesse, bring all your sons out. The Lord told me to come and anoint your kids as king. How many of you have had multiple kids in your life before? Few of you, right? And you do look at your kids sometimes. You wonder which one is going to be the one to make it big. You hope that for all of your kids, but sometimes, you know. You just know because one of them, man, you know where they're going. They're going to learn the hard way, boy. I get it. But in reality, I mean, as a parent, you want all your kids to thrive and do well. But and my wife and I, we do it sometimes. You know, we look at our kids and think, well, maybe this one, you know, I don't know. I took my kids yesterday on a bike ride, of all things, at the Everglades, right? I mean, it's a dirt road straight out, nothing. Nothing out there but some alligators and some... I always think there's dead people out there, but I don't say that to my kids. But I'm out there with my kids, and this is what happened. Four of us went. My young daughter, if you would have asked me before we left, I said, she's the one that's going to love this. She's going to get out there and take off and go. I mean, because I ride my bike with her all through the neighborhood. She loves it. We get out on the road. She starts crying the minute we get out of there. And we had to go 4 miles. She's crying in mile one. And I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good. But you just never know. You never know. But Jesse made a huge mistake. When he said, bring out your sons, he brings out the lion, and then he's like, and he's looking at him. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the... Listen to me. Jesse put his son out there. He said, surely it's going to be this one. Surely it's this guy. He's made great grades, never caused me any problems. He's 6'6", got it together, got a brand new suit. But guess what? While they were looking at these guys, there was some young guy standing on the side of the mountain over there saying, you know what, Lord? I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I worship you all of my days. You are my shepherd. I shall not want. You make me to lie. He was saying all this stuff. And God said, you ain't found him yet. Be careful how you look at people, church. Be careful how you look at people. God will use the least expected one every time. He will do it every time. Those, what did he say in 1 Corinthians 1? He said, not many were called according to you were noble, education, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It's not always going to be what you think it is. God will use anybody. Listen to me this morning. Maybe you're sitting here this morning. You say, man, I don't even think God would use me. I've done this. I've done that. Let me tell you something. You're just the one God wants to use. And if you and I today can leave this place with an attitude of worship toward God, that nobody even knows about it, man. It's just you and God. I'm just thankful. How many of you are just thankful to be alive? How many of you are thankful that God delivered you? How many of you should have been dead somewhere along the way? You know what I'm saying? And you know it. How many of you God has just delivered you and saved you, man? And that's enough right there. That's why, because I say, you know what? I can sing now forever. I can sing. It don't matter if God ever does anything else for me again. I don't care. I can sing because I know what he's done for me. See, I believe that's what God's looking for. I believe in 2019, God said, I'm looking for a church. I'm looking for a group of people. I know you got vision. I know you got dreams. But if you ain't coming after me, my friend, you ain't going to get there. You can't sustain it. That's why I think God has us in a preparation period, Life Point Church, because he's getting us ready to pour out his spirit and to use us in Broward County. You don't just make it happen. That's manipulation. I already told you that's wrong, but God said, if you'll come after me with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we got something we can work with. He was a son of Jesse. God was working this thing out. And it wasn't just to have David, but it was also to have Christ. You understand what I'm saying? God knows what he's doing. You ever been through a situation before and you say, "Hey, I don't know why that happened. I mean, I only do that like twice a week." You know what I mean? It's like, what the heck happened like that for? God knows what he's doing. Do you trust him to keep singing, to keep worshiping? It's all there. Listen to what he says next. He comes to Jesse, and he says, "Where? There's got to be one more." Let's skip down to verse 11. Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all of them here?" Now, let me ask you a question. Why didn't Jesse have him in the line? It was his kid. Well, that tells me right there, Jesse didn't look at him the same way he does everybody else. Amen? He didn't look at him the same way. Oh, you mean David? That little guy? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and he's over there keeping the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, bring him here. Bring him here, for we will not sit down until he comes. So he sent and brought him. And now he was ruddy, bright-eyed, good-looking. The Lord said this, arise. The Lord said it. Anoint him. The one you overlooked, the one you didn't think was it, he'd been singing to me. He'd been writing me songs. While y'all were over there dancing and partying and having a good time, he was writing songs about me. He was writing songs about me out of his own heart. He wrote poetry about me. He was coming after me when nobody wanted anything. He was coming after me. That's the one. You anoint him right there. Anoint him now. And he was anointed king. He was anointed king. Now, the interesting thing about this story is when the moment he was anointed, he went back to herd sheep. Okay? There's a difference between being anointed and being appointed. Okay? Don't grow weary in waiting on your appointment. How many of you are waiting for God? You know God's got something for you bigger than what you're doing now. Listen to me. He does. But I'm going to tell you, you will not get anointed until you worship him with your whole heart. It will not come to you. Remember what he said, I found David. I found a man. I found a woman. I found somebody in Broward County. I found someone in Life Point Church that was coming after me with their whole heart. Arise, anoint him, for this is the one. He was a man after, he also says this about him. He was the son of Jesse, and the next qualification was he was a man after my own heart. Matthew 15:8. Jesus addresses this issue. And boy, I believe he's addressing it for the church. In Matthew 15:8, Jesus says this, you worship me, you people draw near to me with your mouth, and you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You're singing and dancing, but your heart is not with me. Listen to me, church. We need to get our heart back with God. Listen, God wants you to be with him unconditionally. He loves you. The enemy would lie to you and say, oh, I can't have a relationship with God. I've done too much. I've made too many mistakes. I keep having this issue in my life. That is a lie from the pit. You go after God with your whole heart, right where you're at, and you watch what happens to your life. He said, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Then he goes to the next statement. He said, he was a man after my own heart who will do my will. Who will do my will. Listen to what happened in David's life right here, 1 Samuel 17. He's back on the side of the mountain herding sheep. Let me tell you. He could have said this. He could have said this to his dad. He could have said, hold on just a minute, pops. You see what just happened to me? I just got anointed. I ain't tending nobody's sheep. You know what I'm saying? He could have said that. But a man after God's own heart ain't going to say something like that, is he? He's going to go back and serve. Listen to me. If you're anointed and you don't serve, you ain't never going to be appointed. Your service is the doorway to your destiny. You can sit back and talk about how anointed you are, how God has showed up in your life, how the Spirit's been poured out in your life, and if you don't serve the body of Christ, you ain't got it yet. Jesus Christ came to serve, not to be served. And I'm going to tell you, there's opportunities for you in 2019, and you're going to go to the next level because you chose to serve. You chose to serve. There's areas here you can serve. How many of you know you should be serving? Oh, I was hoping a ton of hands would go up right then because we had some jobs to do around here, but I'll catch you again next week. Don't worry. He said, listen to what he said. Jesse said to David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp and carry 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousands and see how your brothers fare and bring back news. Now think about this for a minute. This guy was just anointed king in front of all of them, and his dad still don't give him any nothing. He doesn't acknowledge him at all. Matter of fact, these guys were all fighting a war for the Israeli army, and he didn't even get to go. He did not even get to go. He was not even asked to go with the men to fight. You know how humiliating that is? That's like, look, guys, y'all all go out and play army, but I'm going to let my other son stay in here and play Barbies. Nothing against Barbie, but I'm just saying. There's something wrong with that picture right there to me. So he said, matter of fact, he says, you go find out how everybody's doing and feed them and serve them and come back and tell me. He could have said this, I ain't serving none of them guys. I'm king. You know who I am? I ain't taking them nothing. Dad? No, but what did the Bible say about his qualification? He was, what did he say? Who will do my will. He was going to serve no matter what. He was going to serve people that talked about him. He was going to serve people that didn't acknowledge him. He said, no matter what, I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve. And let me listen to what I'm about to tell you. It was in his moment of service that he reached his door of destiny. It was in his moment of service that he reached the door of his destiny. If you sit at home on the couch and think it's coming to you, you have been lied to. You will serve your way to your destiny. I'll promise you that. Not to destiny. The youth pastor destiny. Anyway, he said, bring me back the news of them. Bring me back the news. Go tell me how your brothers are doing. See, he's still only worried. Man, this guy was anointed king. Says, tell me here. 1 Samuel 17, 18. Excuse me, that's where we're at. So here's what happens. David takes the bread, takes the cheese, and runs to the battlefield. Runs to the battlefield. And shows up, and now this is a guy that's been on the side of the mountain, heart to heart with God. You hear what I'm saying? And here all of a sudden when he gets there, the Israeli army is hiding on one side, the Philistine army on the other side, and here comes this giant that comes against the name of their God. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so David says to himself, hold on just a minute. Hold it just a moment. Who are you talking about? This is what happened now. He said, who are you talking about? Then he goes to Saul and them. He says, do you hear what this guy's saying? He's talking about my God. Let me tell you what, there's going to come a day and time in the United States of America where we will stand up for God. I will promise you that. We should have done it a long time ago. But there will come a day when you and I, the connected children of God that have a heart after God, somebody going to say something and somebody going to say, I had enough of this. I had enough of you putting down God. I had enough of you taking God out of our stuff. I'm done. Who's with me? And they will put you in jail over it. This is where we live. I just want you to know. You will get in trouble. But you know, I guarantee you this. I've been around long enough. I've seen too much mission work to say this. There are people sitting in prisons right now across the globe. And God said, I found them. I found them. I found that guy that was after my heart. Because they told him they were going to lock him up if he didn't shut his mouth. And he was living in a foreign land that was illegal. But I found him. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. Let me tell you what. The day's coming. The day's coming. Listen. A man after God's own heart. You can't stop them. David's standing there. This is what I want you to catch about his life. He was anointed, still serving, still shoveling sheep stuff on the side of a hill, feeding his brothers that didn't like him. But in the midst of his service, God positioned him for the fight of his life. God positioned him for the fight of his life. And listen to me, you might be in the fight of your life today. For some of you, you're going through something. You say, this is the biggest fight. This is the worst fight I've ever been in. This is it. This is the biggest one. If it's not you, then it'll come one day, I promise you. And you'll be standing face to face. The army of Israel were hiding from this guy. The men were afraid to fight him. This boy walks out there and says, you say it one more time, we'll kill you. Basically, that's what he said. He said, if you say it one more time, I'm turning your body over to the ravens of this field, and they're going to eat you alive today. They will eat your carcass today. I mean, you think about it. When he said it, Goliath began to laugh and say, well, What do you think I am, some kind of dog that this little kid's going to come out here and say this to me? Then in verse 20 in that story right there is when Saul says, when David goes and says, I'm going. And Saul says, well, hold on a minute. Let me help you. Listen to me. You're going to come into a battle. You ain't even going to need no help. Saul did this. Saul said, here's my armor. Here's my sword. Take all my stuff and you go fight him. What happened when David put it on? He said, I can't do that. I can't wear your stuff. Why? Because when you're heart to heart with God, you know who you are. You know what your strength is. God has prepared you for the battle. You don't have to fight like somebody else. You fight like yourself. And you'll stand before that giant and you'll be ready to tackle that thing. So David says, I can't really use all this nice armor as great as this stuff is. Let me go get what I do know, what I do have. I'll go get a rock out of the creek. Because if there's one thing we should know about David's life, as long as he stood on the side of that mountain, he probably learned how to throw a rock at something. Matter of fact, when he goes in there, he says, God, are you not the one that delivered me out of the hand of the lion and the bear? And he'd been through all these battles. I mean, this is one of them kids that grew up with a slingshot. You know what I'm saying? He'll put you down, dude. Like, seriously put you down with this thing. And so he gets there, and he's standing before the giant. Everybody's watching a public fight. A public fight that nobody wanted any part of. And he said, I had enough of your mouth. I had enough of you coming against my God. Boom. You know what happens. He hit that guy right between the eyes. And then the real interesting thing happened next. David walked over and picked up Goliath's sword and cut his head off. Then, let me just tell you how it goes. Then David walks up and picks up Goliath's head. They don't tell this one in the preschool class, but this is what happened. If we may illustrate this one day. He picks up the bloody head and takes it to Saul's tent and says, here, that guy that wouldn't shut up about my God, here he is. Here he is. Let me tell you something. That thing that's been coming against you and your family, I think you're going to pick his head up this year and you're going to walk around with it. You read the story. He picked the head up of that man, that giant, and took it all the way to Jerusalem. Chapter 18, verse 2. This is it. The story changed. His destiny changed. His life changed. He killed the giant. The thing that had been coming against them, he finally said, enough's enough. How many of you got that thing in your life today? You say, I got to get his head off. I'm not talking about going out there and just going at it a little bit. I'm talking about I got to cut his head off. Some of you, I know what that is, and I'm telling you, this year, you get your heart connected with God, and he's going to position you in a fight, and you're going to overthrow that garbage. You're going to overthrow that thing. Saul took him. Listen to me. Saul took him that day. This is his destiny changed. He came from the side of a mountain as a shepherd boy, and that day he killed that giant. This is what it says. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. You're not going back to that place that you were overlooked anymore. You're not going back to that place where they thought you weren't good enough anymore. From this day forward, your destiny has changed. He went to Jerusalem. God changed him. Listen to me. In 2019, God wants you to go in a new direction in your life. But if there's one thing we got to do, we got to connect our heart to God's heart. This don't happen any. I'm telling you, this is how the story went. There is no easy way around it. There is no fake way to do it. You can't do this unless you and I decide that we are going to get back on the side of the mountain. I'm not talking about serving. I'm not talking about how much you work around here. I'm not talking about all that. I'm talking about, do you get up and have a time in your life where you're on the side of the mountain by yourself and it's just you singing to God? I mean, you may do this in the grocery line. Let me say it like this. You and I should do it in the grocery line. I mean, Just give them a card, tell them to come to LifePoint. Don't say nothing else. They're going to know you're crazy. But I'm going to say this. They ain't fighting what you're fighting. They ain't been through what you've been through. Let me tell you, when I pull up at a red light and somebody sees me over there singing and worshiping, they're probably thinking, good Lord. And I never had a conversation with somebody, but I would say, you ain't been through what I've been through, man. But let me tell you about a God that'll pull you through anything. You're not going to take the song out of me. That's why I say if God does nothing else for me in my life, it's enough. I can sing, I can dance, I can worship him today because of what he's done in my life. And I don't have to do anything else. I know he's real. I know too much about him. I know too much about him. He said, the heart that was after my own heart. And I'm going to get ready. We're going to close this service a little bit different today. So don't get weird on me. But I'm going to take you to another verse. David's walked in his destiny. And we looked at the qualifications that he had. In Psalm 57. This was something he wrote on the side of the mountain, by the way. He said, my heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and give praise. See, here's one of the qualifications that wasn't in the list, but this is what he was. You hear the music? It's okay. David was a musician. When he used to sing to God, he sang about who God was.
How he picked me up and turned me around. How he placed my feet.
He knew who he was. He didn't sing songs about what God gave him. He said, I know who you are.
When I think about,
I want you to stand on your feet this morning.
How he saved me, how he raised,
how he filled me.
See, I'm believing in 2019 that we're going to reconnect with God in a way that we haven't in a long time. Because God has a destiny for your life. God has a plan for your life. God's going to do it. Here's how we're going to close out today. I picked two songs. These are songs I sing when I think about God. You know what I'm saying? These are the ones that I get down with myself. I'm going to open the altars today. And I'm going to invite you to come forward. Listen to a couple songs. Then we're going to close this service out. But here's what I want to encourage you with this year. Get connected with God. Let God find you. Can God find you? God's going to work it out. Amen. I invite you to come forward this morning.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
When I think about the Lord,
when I think about the Lord,
how he saved me,
how he saved me,
how he raised me,
how he raised me,
how he filled me
with the Holy Ghost, how he
bye.
sing one more song together, and I'm going to come by and pray for you because I'm believing. I know who he is. I know who he, you know who he is. We're going to worship him this morning.
I worship you, Lord.
We're going to believe God for 2019 for your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Heart after God.
Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
He's bringing us back. He's bringing us back.
Because of who you are, I give your glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are. Jehovah Nissi,
Jehovah Nissi,
the Lord, you.
Amen. God bless you this morning. I'm going to tell you why I anointed you with oil today. I believe it was symbolic. When they anointed David with oil, because God had called him to a greater purpose than what he was living in. And God said, I found him. And I believe in 2019, God's going to find you. God's going to find your family. And he's going to say, that's the one I was looking for. They thought they were out. People didn't even put them in the line. But that was my child that came after my heart. Amen? Can you worship him one more time this morning, church? Can we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up your name. We worship you. God, we worship you in public and we worship you in private. Every area of our life, we're going to worship you, God. Everywhere we go, 2019 is the year. It's the year, God. I'm believing for families in here. God, we've been anointed with oil today. We've been anointed with the Holy Spirit today. God, help us as we turn our hearts back to you, that we could be found the people after God's own heart. Lord, we honor you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you today, church. God bless you this morning. Have a great day. We'll see you back here real soon on a Wednesday for a Bible study. Don't forget, we have our Sunday school classes that started this week. If you're willing to and wanting to go, there's still room there. And thank you so much for being with us. May God bless you today.